Passage this morning comes from Matthew's Gospel. It comes from the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, this section in Matthew's Gospel where Jesus gives the longest continuous passage of speech that we find from Jesus in the Bible. And so we hear the last bit of that today as we read Matthew 7, verses 12 to 27. And a reminder that we're in our Lenten series, which is called A Fork in the Road. And we're looking at the different forks in the road, the different places where we find ourselves with competing choices and maybe a crisis of faith or at a crossroads. And we're holding the scripture up against some of the music of the Mumford and Sons. So we'll hear the scripture and then we'll hear the song and we'll hold those two things up together. Let's read first Matthew 7, verses 12 to 27. And everything do to others as you would have them do to you. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many deeds of power in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was its fall. Here ends the reading from God's holy word.
Keep the earth was under your spell, but I was told by Jesus all was well. So all must be well, just give me time. Well, you know your desires and mine, so wrap my flesh in ivy and in twine. For I must be well, keep the earth below my feet. For all my sweat, my blood runs weak. Let me learn from where I have been. Well, keep my eyes to serve, my hands to learn.
Let's pray. Lord, the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life. And so we walk it trusting that you are present to us in it and that you will surround us and encourage us and lead us where you would have us to go. Call on that promise in this moment so that we may know your word for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It was Oliver Wendell Holmes who said, "Most people are willing to take the Sermon on the Mount as a flag to sail under, but few will use it as a rudder by which to steer." All the hardest stuff is in the Sermon on the Mount. Love your enemy, pray for those who persecute you. Turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, refuse the temptation to meet violence with violence. No one can serve two masters, that's in there too. You can't serve God and wealth. There's a Lent of sermon series just there. The commandment not to worry, do not worry about your life, about what you will eat or what you will drink. Consider the birds of the air, consider the lilies of the field. They neither sow nor reap, and yet God feeds them. Does the God not love you more than these? Tomorrow's worries are enough for tomorrow, and today's are enough for today. Do not worry about your life. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. All of that is in three chapters, and there's more. All of that and more is in three chapters of Matthew's gospel. And so the conclusion, which we read this morning, is the clincher. And what Jesus actually, he says that he actually intends for us to do this stuff. He actually intends for us to make this the foundation of our lives. And he says, this is hard. The gate is narrow and the road is difficult that leads to life. The gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction. But the one that leads to life, the gate is narrow and the road is hard, and there are few who find it. And there are plenty of people who will come along dressed up as one thing, talking to you about one thing, false prophets who will try to tell you that the gate is wider and the road is easier than it really is. Maybe they'll come along and they'll tell you that you can follow him and carpet bomb your neighbors. Maybe they will come along and tell you that you can follow him and disenfranchise the poor and marginalized. Maybe somebody will come along and tell you that you can follow him and accumulate a profane amount of wealth, and that in fact, if you do, that's a sign that you're doing something right. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them is like the one who built his house on a solid rock, a foundation that can withstand the swirling storm of life and culture. These words are not just a flag to sail under, they are a rudder by which to steer. I said a little bit last week about Marcus Mumford, who is the lead singer and primary songwriter for Mumford & Sons, and he is the son of two pastors. God love him. And he's wrestled with the faith that he has inherited from his parents, and he's talked about this some in the media, but more than that, he talks about it in his music. And all you have to do is listen a little to the music with just a little bit of an imagination. You can hear him working out how he can reconcile what he has learned and what he has been told with what he sees happening in his life. Today, we hear him talking about this painful process of letting go of a version of faith that has shifted underneath his feet. And it seems to have happened for him at the worst of possible times, the way it happens for lots of us. And the first two verses are about death. Maybe the death of somebody important in his life. He says, you were cold as the blood through your bones, and the light which led us from our chosen home, well, I was lost. And now I sleep. I sleep the hours that I can't weep. In other words, all he can do is sleep or cry. And there's the depth of this pain and grief. There's the realization that the way he's been given to see the world and process the depth and the complexities of the world is coming up empty, because then he says, all I knew was steeped in blackened holes. In other words, everything I knew all of a sudden had a bunch of holes in it. And everything that was happening around me was poking more holes in everything that I thought that I knew, and I was lost. And so you can hear, again, in the music, the message beginning to build, because it starts in this quietness, and then there's this resentment, there is this anger and angst, and you can hear a touch of sarcasm, because he said, I was still, and I was under your spell, and I was told by Jesus that all would be well, so all must be well. You can hear the sarcasm and the anger in his voice. That he's been handed a version of faith and a version of Jesus that has not taken seriously the pain and brokenness that he sees now in his life. And then we hear about this time in between. The foundation that he's built his life on has shifted, and he's barely being held together. He says, just leave me alone. Give me some time. You know your desires and mine. So wrap my flesh in ivy and in twine. Just piece me together. Just hold me together for this period, until I can be well, for real. It's how you might feel if you've been given the gospel of Jesus in a way that would lead you to believe that the gate is wide and the road is easy, that you've been given the gospel of Jesus in an accommodating fashion, in a way that has told you that you can have it without ever having to change, or without ever having your toes stepped on, or without ever having your life get complicated. If you've been handed the gospel of Jesus in a way that was meant to make you feel good and anesthetize you to to the realities of life. And then all of a sudden something happens that is so painful that the anesthesia doesn't work anymore. And the mysteries of the world cannot be solved so simply as the worldview that you've been given. I was reading an article this week. It's a professor at Duke Divinity School wrote this article. And it's really a personal thing because she's dealing with, she's 35 years old. She's dealing with stage 4 stomach cancer. And she had this very well-meaning neighbor who came to the door, and the neighbor said, everything happens for a reason. Which is you know, what it's what we say when we don't know what to say. Or when we cannot hold together, when our view of God and the world, when we can't hold that together with the reality of unexplained, unjustified suffering. And so her husband, in a moment of honesty, said, well, you know, I'd love to hear it. And she said, excuse me? And then he clarified, no, I would like to hear the reason that my wife is dying. So all of us will reach this fork in the road sooner or later when the foundation that we've constructed for ourselves is tested by the brutal reality of the world that we live in. It's tested by life itself. Life happens, and all of a sudden everything we thought we knew is called into question. And it's not altogether from actual building, structure. Because you can build a structure cheaply and easily, and you can build it in a manner that costs you the least, and for a while you might be happy with the results. You can build for yourself, or you can accept the one that's given to you, this version of God that does not challenge your prejudices, that does not challenge or confront your temptations, that does not get at your desires, that does not confront your brokenness. Or you can acknowledge from the beginning that the road is hard and the gate is narrow. And that to follow a man who could take just 3 chapters in a gospel, in as few words as we have in the Sermon on the Mount, to follow a man who can take that little bit of time and call us to lives that are so dramatically different from the ones that we are tempted to live every day, this is less about prosperity, it's less about what makes us feel good than it is about death and resurrection. About dying every day to the worldview we might prefer to have and being risen to one that can actually be sustained. And to build that way, you have to build slowly and you have to build carefully. And sometimes it will feel lonely, and sometimes it'll be expensive. It'll cost you more than it might to build quickly and cheaply. But if you will build this way, then there's at least a chance that you'll still be standing when the storm has passed you by. So maybe there's 2 forks in the road. The first fork in the road that we face is when we must decide which version of Jesus we will build our lives on. The one that some people want to sell to us because they know that we are tempted to buy it. Because it's easier, it's clearer, there's less mystery, it gives perfect meaning and order to a world that feels chaotic all the time, and so we want that one because it's $1.99 and not $5.99. And we'll have to choose whether we want that one or whether we want the one that is steeped in mystery, the one that is calling us to the hard work of relationship, of being involved, of sacrificing, of loving in complicated, sticky, messy ways. And then ultimately we have to arrive at a different fork when our faith, the faith that we've constructed for ourselves, is tested. And this is the one that Marcus Mumford arrives at. And again, it's a choice between easy and difficult, between simple and complex. And the temptation is to believe that if our faith can be tested, if we can be made to doubt, if we can be made to wonder, then what we believed must have never been true in the first place. Like maybe Marcus Mumford got sold a version that said all will be well, that Jesus will make all things well, and it was never given to him in a way that took seriously pain and brokenness. And he realized that it was cheap and that it wouldn't last. And so the fork is, am I going to forget it altogether, or am I going to build one that will? You could call it a sham. You could say this was all false to start with. Or you can go down the more difficult path of believing that all the pain and death in the world, that it is real and it is terrible, and you can believe that Christ is still in the midst of it with you. That the two things can be held together. And so he sings in the chorus, let me learn from where I've been. And he says, keep my eyes to serve and my hands to learn. Now that's the opposite, right? Because we learn with our eyes and we serve with our hands. But he's going to learn by doing, and he's going to serve by watching. Maybe he's going to serve by watching. Maybe he's going to sit with someone else who is in pain. And he's going to refuse the temptation to give them empty promises or cliches. And he's going to serve just by looking upon the pain and brokenness in the world and believing that it can be held together with the goodness of God in Christ. And maybe he's going to learn by doing, because isn't that how most of us learn anyway? This thing we call faith? Because we don't know really what we're doing at any time or another. We are learning by doing. We don't know what it means to sit around a table that is for everyone, that is open to all, that is set with the body and blood of Christ. We don't know what that is, but we come every Sunday and we do it until we know what it means. And so by living and walking in the mystery of life, maybe the narrow gate gets a little bit closer and it's not so narrow anymore. And maybe the more that we walk this difficult road, we realize that we don't walk it by ourselves. And if we know that, then maybe it's not so hard to walk. And he says, keep the earth below my feet. Whatever foundation it is I have, keep it below my feet. Give me a foundation that won't shift or fail. Give me a foundation that won't be washed away, that won't crumble underneath the weight of life. And so we come during Lent. This is this time of self-examination. And the fork in the road is, what kind of faith is it that you have? Where have you built, on what have you built your house? Has some stuff come along in your life that has felt like the foundation was flooding and you didn't know if you were going to stay right where you were or get washed away? And so the prayer becomes, keep the earth beneath my feet. Give me a faith in the Christ whose grace is more radical than I can believe. Give me a faith in the Christ whose love is deeper than any love that somebody could sell me on. Give me a faith in the Christ whose promise of new life is more subversive than the generic version that I would buy because it's cheaper. Keep the earth below my feet. Give me a foundation on which I stand, because I suspect that you and me have lived enough to know that all other ground is sinking sand. Amen.